tuned in to the Cosmic Combos Podcast, your number one source for accurate, relevant, and thought-provoking astrological conversations in the podcast nation, the place where stars and minds align.
Peace. You are now tuned into the Cosmic Convos Podcast. I'm your humble host, Harut, and I got my good brother here, Brother Ra. How you doing?
My brother, keep my eyes to the eyes, ear to the street. How about yourself?
Hey, man, I told you, man. I'm trying to get like you, my brother, man. Just taking it day by day, getting my study on, getting my observation on and stuff like that, man. Just trying to take it to the next level.
Well, your hands looking mighty good. Your hands looking mighty good, King.
I appreciate that, man. I definitely appreciate that, man. Indeed, you know. But before we get too far, I want to remind you all, make sure you like and subscribe to this channel. And share this, you know, with your people. Let everybody know we live. We got the show going on and everything like that. So we can take this thing to the next level. And I also want to remind you that this episode was brought to you by Push It Forward Podcast Network, Calipurusha Astrology, and our good people over there on Patreon. Big up to y'all. Big ups to y'all and whatnot. People on Patreon, man, we had a pretty good show yesterday and stuff like that. You know, doing some kind of collaboration and stuff like that. Some research. So, you know, if you got an opportunity to check that out on Patreon, make sure you leave your comments in there. And, you know, provide some information and different things like that, man, relevant to that show or something that we got coming on this show or whatnot. But the patrons get, you know, a back door of it or whatnot. So, you know, if you want to connect with us and, you know, get tuned in with us and everything that we got going on, you can definitely follow us on Instagram at Cosmic Convo. That's CosmicConvo. On Instagram, you can also follow at Push It Forward at PUSHIFWD on Instagram. And from either one of those profiles, you can definitely find everything that we got going on relevant to this podcast and the rest of the Push It Forward podcast network. Brother Ra, how can the people get a hold of you?
You know, a couple ways. Actually, start checking out my Calipurusha Astrology channel on YouTube. You can definitely get at me via that channel. There'll be some videos coming there shortly. And then also, definitely big up. You can also get at me via Facebook or IG via Shechem Ra. And as I've been stating, and yes, it has been forthcoming, and yes, it is still forthcoming, the website, which is calipurushaastrology.com, it will be coming soon. So again, when that is finalized, everyone will know. You'll be able to schedule your consultations, pay for classes, set up classes, watch videos, read book reviews, newsletters, all kind of things. So definitely when it comes, it's going to be well worth the wait.
Huh. Indeed, man. Definitely big ups to that, man. Looking forward to that website. You know what I'm saying? Indeed, man.
What? You'll even be able to calculate your own chart on there, right? So you'll be able to do that as well. So definitely.
Indeed. Big ups to that. Big ups to that. Or whatnot. So, you know, here we are, you know, episode 12, almost about just short of halfway through or whatnot of this season and stuff like that, man. We've had some very interesting shows and stuff like that, you know, got a lot of interesting feedback for what we got going on now or whatnot. You know, what was the feedback you got from last episode? It was a little different. We covered someone in a different genre and different things like that. Got some interesting feedback. What about you, my brother?
My students always are on the science, you know. So when I do a podcast, they usually listen. And I got some good feedback about the techniques and the ability to see certain patterns in a chart. So definitely good feedback from my students. And everyone else had fairly good things to say as well. So I was very happy with it. I thought it was very pertinent given the context of what's going on with her.
Indeed. You know, one thing about when you got, you know, a YouTube platform or anything like that, you know, you're growing when you start seeing some trolls pop up. It's funny seeing some troll comments on there. So big up to y'all and whatnot.
If you ain't got haters, you ain't doing something right.
Indeed, man. So I definitely appreciate all the feedback, man. We don't, you know, I don't, you know, I'm not sensitive like that. So it's all good or whatnot. But yeah, I got some pretty good feedback from that episode. You know, it was a lot of interesting things going on. And some other astrologers from some different systems have covered it as well. And I think, you know, if you, you know, check out what we got and stuff like that, it's you know, I definitely, you know, think you get tremendous value from that. Indeed. Definitely, you know what I'm saying? Indeed. You know, and this week, you know, with that being said, this week we're kind of in that same vein. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of interesting things going on, a lot of opinions out there, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about astrology is that, you know, we don't have to, you know, rely on opinion. You know, we could, you know, really get into some objectivity when it comes to evaluating these things and being able to understand, you know, certain things that people are going through and, you know, just certain things that, you know, almost like case studies that you can see, you know, in charts that kind of can be reflective on a universal level as well. If you have some of these things happening in your chart, you're experiencing some of these things, you know, or whatnot. So, you know, this show is kind of in that vein as well. Or whatnot, you know, for those of you who follow us on social media, you can definitely, you know, see the cover art that we're on and stuff like that. And, you know, this has been a big subject, right? You know, divorce is it's kind of becoming more commonplace these days. I think they say, like, what's the divorce rate now? It's like 50 something percent, over 50%.
Oh, no, it's like 63-64%.
Wow. That's
that's almost 70. So basically almost every 3 out of 4 marriages will fail.
That's out of control, right? You know, and then if you know seen it on a actual celebrity level, it's probably even higher.
It gotta be. Yeah, the celebrity marriages, even if one's just a celebrity, they just typically don't last very long. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, looking at this situation, it's been getting news pretty much probably the past year, you know, a lot of, you know, interesting things that transpired with this, this brother and his former wife or whatnot, you know, and, I just think, you know, looking at the chart, a lot of things just kind of unfold, unfortunately, beautifully, you know, in regards to, you know, what they're going through and everything like that. And, you know, if you can see, we are talking about the good brother, Dr. Dre. You know, we're going to talk about Dr. Dre today and what he's going on, because a lot of people were flabbergasted by, you know, the verdict and everything like that. And, you know, it probably could have been a lot worse, you know,
imagine that.
Could have been a lot worse, but, you know,
keep her.
Oh, man. If she want to be kept, right?
If she want to be kept, right? You got that right. That's for sure.
Whatnot. So this is definitely a case study. So let's get into the brother, Dr. Dre, and see what we got going on here. You know,
let's pop the hood.
Indeed.
So it looks like we're dealing with Mr. Taurus Ascendant here, right? Mm. Which, you know, and I've always wondered, what is Dre's time? Like, what is Dre? You know what I mean? Because the man has a lot of mad musical ability, you know, and you wonder, where is that, you know, in a person's chart? What are the gifts that they've been given based on destiny? And how can you see it through, you know, the carvings of a horoscope? And his is just classic. I mean, when I saw the chart, I'm like, gotta be kidding.
Boom.
I mean, it's dead on. And yo, folks, like, straight up, this is Taurus Ascendant. If you put it into Western astrology, he's gonna be Gemini, right? That doesn't even fit in the least. And, you know, me and Haru were talking, it's strange that this man even looks like a bull, right? I mean, you look at his face, right? You're looking at a bull, right? It's amazing how the ascendant matches, like when you calibrate it, right? And it's just, you see it, you can see the person's face, right? I mean, it's a dead giveaway. Massive, broad shoulders, huge dude, right? Yeah, I mean, Taurus ascended all the way.
Yeah, and, especially since he got swole.
Right, right, right.
when he get?
I mean, you can't deny this, folks. This is who this man, this is who he is, right? He's Taurus. Creative, right? Tauruses are insanely creative, right? And some of you Tauruses on here, right? Tauruses usually have gifts, folks. We all do, right? That's part of life, is you get gifts with challenges so that you can master them. So, you know, most Tauruses have gifts, meaning artistic gifts, artistry, music, decorating, cooking, culinary, you name it. When it comes to things that are tangible, furniture building, carpentry, right? They are literally, they're the sign to be if you're looking for creative juices to flow, you know, constantly. And so Tauruses, because of their disposition to be steady and consistent, you've seen him where there's challenges that have been presented to Dre, such as leaving NWA, right? Leaving Death Row, right? I mean, consistently plotting, willing to say, you know what, no matter the course, I'm going to maintain. I'm going to stay the lane. And then stay in that lane, staying in his lane, doing what he does best, produced masses amounts of wealth. And we're going to see how that wealth produced, and we're also going to see some of the things tied into his wife, and by which she's going to reap some of the benefits of this particular wealth. Right. So, you know, Taurus ascendant again, definitely one that can be stubborn and drag it out to the end type deal, as we can see in regards to his marriage. Verdict, you know, the back and forth process as far as the deliberation of what she was going to get, he had to stand his ground. If I remember, we were talking about a prenup, right? We're talking about a prenup, that he found that prenup, right? So, you know, I mean, this is a man that's not going to give in to, you know, demands or give in to sway of emotions very easily. So just knowing, right, that not only that, he has 8 children. So if we were to see the wife from his chart, we would have to find out what number she is, because at 8 children, you know, the first wife, second wife, third wife, fourth wife, that kind of thing, we kind of have to find out which one she is. And I honestly don't know, because I don't know if he has 2 children by one woman, 4 children by one woman, if he has 8 different mothers, like 8 different children by 8 different women. That those factors, I don't know, right? But you can always see things based on the chart, based on the 7th house, because that's a person that's opposite to you. So even though, let's say you have 18 wives, right? Whoever sits in the seat of wife still feels the impact of the opposite of your ascendant in the 7th house. So we're going to look at it from that perspective. And so, again, as that bullish ascendant, right? They literally love wealth. The second sign is all about money, resources, having what you need, right? When you need it, how you need it, where you need it. They love money. And by far, right, this man has achieved a great deal in that regard, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about that, too. So, absolutely, Tobias, they're lit up. This man's chart is lit up. So, you know, one of the other things that we look at is the actual ascendant degree, which is right around 7 degrees and some change, right? 740. And that's Kritika. Kritika is a part of Taurus that is extremely driven, right? Very demanding. It's ruled by it's co-ruled. The nakshatra itself is ruled by the sun. And so This is, you know, it's a very hot, very intense, right, type of person. meaning that they're relentless in what they want. They don't take no for an answer. These are the butchers of the zodiac. One of the things that is that Kritika is considered is the caste that is considered as a butcher. Right, so it can cut things up. It can cut and dispense with things easily. But as a producer, see, one of the things that Kritika does well, like Tauruses, is they cook very well. Now, Dre might be actually a good chef, believe it or not. His cooking isn't in necessarily kitchen. His cooking is inside the studio.
Chefing up them beats.
There you go, right? And so, you know, those that music, right, is his meals that we digest, right? His music are the culinary, right, desserts that we feast upon, right? And they're so delectable, they're so classic that we can go back and listen to something that is old and still get that same kind of, you know, reinvigoration of that first time that we heard it. So, right. You know, that's that kind of ability that comes with Taurus and that Kritika portion of Taurus and what Kritika produces. You know, if you're critical, think about it. If you're critical, you're not going to let anything come out of your studio that's sloppy, right? You're not going to let anything come out of your production company that's not worthy of, right, a hit.
Right.
You know, you've never heard Dre really produce something, even if it wasn't necessarily radio play, that you didn't, you know, catch a beat to or find something that was, you know, palatable about it.
So, yeah, no.
I haven't, right?
He's a perfectionist, you know?
Critical, exactly. And we're going to get deeper into that perfectionism. But, right, that critical attitude, the overall disposition of his character makes it so that he's intense, direct, and driven about getting the things done. That's the baseline. You know, you can come out with different things from that baseline. But if that's the baseline, whatever's produced will at some point or in some way be worthy of being reminisced, right? Being something that's savored, in other words, right? Like we savor food, you savor the music, you savor the beats, you savor the moment you heard rolling down the street, sitting in my sixfold. The first time you heard that, right? Right? There's a nostalgic, reminiscent time that his music has the power to take you back to. That's right. The power that he's gifted with. First time you heard The Chronic, right? Classic. Those are things you, memories, you know, memories. I know you remember, right?
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, this is the power that he's been gifted with. What really kind of harnesses the power or brings it to a higher level is the mind, right? His moon. And that moon is in the fifth house. The fifth house is the house of intelligence, Purva Punya, past life credit. Right. So the mind of an engineer, the mind of an intellect, the mind of someone that is not only intellectually viable because of Virgo, right? Virgo is the sign of intellectualism, of constant debate and constant adjustment. So that moon being there, not only are we have a critical disposition with his base nature, his personality makeup, but now the mind, the mental capabilities, the memory is sharpened and keen and made keen by that placement in the fifth house. Right? So this is a mastermind, right? This is someone that's genius-like, right, provided that other placements are there for that genius to take root. So nonetheless, right, that moon in the fifth house in Virgo gives him that perfectionist undertow. Now, if you look at where the moon is, look at the nakshatra it's in. It's in Hasta, right? Hasta is represented by the what? It's the hand, right? The man is a master with his what? With his hands. And, right, when you look at what rules Hasta, it's the moon. So the moon is in its own nakshatra, and the moon rules the third house. So the third lord, the lord of hands, is in the fifth house, the third from itself. So it's in the third from the third, and it's in
a nakshatra that is self, that it rules itself. So that literally boosts it up even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So by far, right, this is genius level, right, type of individual. This is a person that has come to do something that is awe-inspiring, right? Something that can, you know, catch the masses in a way that, you know, it's almost hard to resist. People, how many people been waiting on a Dr. Dre album? I mean, he ain't even released a real album, right? And people still are waiting, right? I mean, I think he's released some singles and things like that, but not an actual, like, Dr. Dre album.
The last one was the NWA movie soundtrack.
Right, the NWA soundtrack, that's what he did, right? But an actual Dre album, we haven't heard one in a while.
What was it, Detox?
Detox, right.
Yeah.
Right, and everybody's waiting, you know? So that's the gifts that's produced in this particular particular chart, you know, Moon in the fifth. And then Mars is there. Now, Mars, what it does is, remember, this is a Chandra Mangal Yoga. And Chandra Mangal Yoga means they do very well in what?
Business.
In business, right? So very determined, very sharp with regards to business. Very adamant, right? Won't take no, right? Deal or what? No deal.
No deal.
Right? Right? That's that moon conjunct Mars. That's what the Chandra Mangal will do. It makes an uncompromising disposition. Not so great in relationships, but excellent in the boardroom. Excellent in the business table. Now, going deeper, right? We find out, why is this man? Because, yes, he's got these placements, ascendant Taurus, Kritika is the ascendant moon in the fifth, Mars. But it's got to be something else that kind of seals the deal.
Right.
And what it is, right, without anything else, he's got the ascendant Lord in the ninth house. That, folks, is almost automatically high level thinking from birth, meaning that the person thinks on a level that you and I probably aren't privy to. Some of us aren't. Like, if you have a chart that's based, you know, you have the fifth house, ninth house lit up, you know, because both of me and this brother do, right? Then you can see some of the genius that is sparked behind that type of mind. But, you know, that those houses have to be lit up and they have to be placed fairly well. Well, his is, right? His is ascendant Lord, right? Which is Venus, placed in Capricorn. Capricorn is the sign of discipline, of long-term planning, right? Of also endurance, wanting to succeed, climbing to the heights, gaining notoriety, being of status, of importance, being a person that you can't even, that there's no way that you can ignore, or that you can't, that you don't come under their power or control. That's the ascendant Lord in Capricorn. That shapes the disposition of a person, is that sign that the ascendant Lord is in. So this also shows a gifted individual. Gifted with what? Music, because Venus is the planet of music, and it is what he identifies with. If you ever watch the NWA story, NWA movie Straight Out of Compton, if you remember this scene where his mother, right, was telling him, and before I digress, but let me remind you of this, folks, that those of you are some of my students, some of you that are studying, the fifth house is Purva Punya. What does that really mean? It means that if you have a strong fifth house, you know what you're going to do from a very early age. Right? I can come and tell you, hey, you know what? You would be a great mathematician, right? But in your heart, right? The fifth house in your mind, with the fifth house, I mean, I say heart fifth house, meaning the fifth house is the part of us that's the soul. It's connected to the soul, that part, that heart. Right? Not the physical heart, which is the fourth house, but the fifth house, which is the soul, which is related to Leo, the sun. That part of you that knows what I got to do.
Well, that it's part also of, speculative.
Absolutely. It's future, it's ability to project into the future. Absolutely. Right? And so it's speculative. But when you have the moon there, right? It's your mind that knows I've got to do something special. There's something I'm supposed to do on this planet. If I don't do it, it's not going to be right. Right. And remember, it doesn't even matter what sign is there. The moon is there. But then that perfectionism comes out through that moon. So this person is born knowing he's going to do something of value beyond what most people would consider. And remember, his mother said, you need to get this job. He said, I just can't do that. Because those types of people that make impacts in the world know they're going to make that impact. And it doesn't matter how much money they have in their hand at the moment. It doesn't matter how many trips they've taken, how much knowledge they have. They know at the end, when the end all be all, when it's all said and done, they've got this particular agenda to accomplish. And the moon, folks, is also music. I don't want you to think that just Venus is. The moon is also music as well, because music is also connected to moods and memories.
Right.
Right. It's connected to Venus is the imagination in the sense of the pleasure side. But imagination can only happen when you're in a state of trance. Right. That you can open it up. Right. And really go into another world. That's also the moon. So the moon is also music. Moon in the first house, fifth, ninth, they love music. Moon in the fourth house loves music. Right. Moon is music. Also, so again, gifts and music. So the ascendant lord, which is Venus, is in the ninth, gifts, right? Or high knowledge via music. Moon in the fifth, high knowledge via music, genius level understanding. So this 5-9 axis, and Tobias, excellent point that you said that fifth, ninth, and tenth house is lit up like a Christmas tree. Mm-hmm. Not only that, right? The moon's lord goes to the 10th house, which is a Kendra house. So now we have a trichone going to a Kendra. That is a very powerful yoga.
Right.
Now, right, we've kind of just done a general assessment of him. His sun is in Aquarius in the 10th. What does that do? The sun is the height of who you are. It's the end game. It's to say, you know what? When I leave here, stamp me on this one because I did it. So the sun in the 10th house is leadership, right? The ability to shine above and beyond all else, the ability to produce light to others, to give others light, to guide others. Snoop Dogg, right? Numerous of people that numerous amount of Eminem, right? I mean, whoever he touches, it turns to what? To gold. The Midas touch. Taurus is to neck. Platinum. Taurus is connected to Midas. Go read about King Midas, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. King Midas is Taurus, folks. Go read it. Go read the story, right? The Midas touch, right? So, you know, that's why they say, if if your record is suffering, call the doctor, right?
Right.
He'll fix it up. So this man is genius level just from those placements alone. However, right, is there something else that, because you can have genius level and never have the opportunity to reach the height of your genius in the world scene.
Right. Know?
And so is there something that would produce that particular, or is there a catalyst in his chart that does that? And absolutely, he has what's called a Shasha Yoga. A Shasha Yoga is when Saturn is in the first, fourth, seventh, or tenth house, in either its own sign or in an exalted position, right? And you can see Saturn in the 10th in its own sign. And not only to mention that, for my students and for anyone that's studying this, it's his yoga karaka. It's the planet that gives him the best results. You can't get any better than that, folks. That is what you want, right? I would even venture to say that the Saturn placement that Dr. Dre has in the position that it's in is better than exaltation. Because let's say, for example, if it were exalted, it would be in the sixth house, and the sixth house is not the house of notoriety. It's not the house of fame. It's not the house of position and power. It's the house of service.
He might be an engineer. Like a recording engineer.
In the back, right.
In the background, yeah.
But because those three major planets, which is a stellium, is in the 10th house, fame, accolades, position, all of it calls to him. And not only that, because of that Shasha Yoga, right? Shasha Yoga produces someone that is a leader of a village, or many times can be a leader of the masses. See, Saturn is the masses. What do you mean? You know, he's not a spiritual leader, right? He's not a religious leader. He's not a political leader. He's not even really a, quote unquote, I would say musical leader. But in the position that he stands, he impacts others. He leads others. When I say Eminem, 50 Cent, these are people that were made millionaires because of the association they had with him, because of the interaction and the networking. Kendrick Lamar, everything this man deals with comes out on the other end by some means as better or more well off, right?
Right.
So you got to consider that. That's what that Shasha Yoga will do, right? In the 10th house. Yes, it is combust with Saturn. Yes. But that combustion is well tolerated because the sun, even though it's in a very powerful position in the 10th house, so it can stand on its own. It can hold the frustration and the darkness that Saturn brings in its own sign. It doesn't have, because not only that, it aspects its own house in the 4th house, so that means it gives him a solid heart, meaning that he doesn't shake or rattle with regards to contentment. He knows how to please himself through a person pleases himself when the 4th Lord is intent through their achievements. That's what that means, right? The 4th Lord, which is the sanctity of your heart, which gives you satisfaction, which makes you complete and whole, right? It goes to the 10th. Well, what does that mean? My career, my ability to make rise, my ability to climb the heights gives me satisfaction. It makes me feel complete. So this by far does that for him. Right. Not only to mention, you have the 4th Lord and the 5th Lord combined in the 10th house. That's another powerful yoga. These are all very powerful yogas with him, which way you turn.
Right.
Can't beat it. Right. But let's look at some things, because I wanted to just review Dr. Dre briefly so that you can see how the karma unfolds, how the karma plays out. Right. And we're going to tie in right from that Shasha Yoga, which Saturn in the 10th produces, and see why, how, and what it produces and when. So if you go and look at his dasha scheme, right, he's born in 65, so he starts off in a moon dasha. Remember what I said, folks? Isn't that crazy? See, I mean, this is not pre-thought of. This is something I do because I'm looking at the chart, just going through it like we're talking about it as it off the rip. I barely looked at the chart earlier. So this is just going through it to show you, right? I don't have to. The way this works so beautifully is that once you get it, it doesn't even take much effort to see, right? He's born in a moon dasha. What planet, what house is the moon in?
Fifth.
So he's born in a dasha that says you're going to do something special. Right? That's the jump off. That's the jump off. That means that from birth, he knew whether or not, however, whatever it was, when he started world-class wrecking crew in 85, right? He knew it. Something is going to happen to me to make to bring me to the level of completion for my destiny. I know I'm going to do something special. So jumping off from the moon dasha all the way, I mean, that's the jump off. Then we go from moon to Mars, right? Mars to Rahu. In the Rahu dasha is when he begins. Rahu is in the ascendant, and the ascendant Lord's in the 9th house. So that shows that this period, remember, Rahu acts like Saturn. So you're not going to see Rahu's magnanimity, a blow up in the beginning. It takes time.
Right.
Right. See, K2 is instant. When K2 happens, it's instant. right? There's no wait. Rahu makes you wait because Rahu is the type that, see, Rahu is longing, right? It's desire. So that makes you wait, doesn't it?
Right. Yeah, because he, I mean, that Dasha started 79. He didn't really start cooking into the late 80s.
85. When he joined World Class Wrecking Crew, right? From 85 to 87, right? That's when he did World Class Wrecking Crew. 87 to 89 is when he got with Easy. 89, that's when NWA, that's when Straight Outta Compton dropped.
Then the Chronic dropped in what, 92?
Well, check it out though. So Rahu rides him all the way out to 97.
Mm-hmm.
But remember what happens the year before 97? What was the major thing that shifted everything in the music industry?
Tupac got killed.
96, Tupac dies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, this is simultaneous because remember, Pac was only on death row for 9 months.
Right.
So It's about a year. He's on death row for a year because he got out in 95.
About 10 months,
right?
Yeah.
Because he got out in the summer of 95. So he died in the early fall of September of 1996. So for that year, right, 96, that's the end of Dre's Jupiter Dasha period. Rahu.
No, that's in it.
It's in the Rahu phase, right? So remember when and you've heard many shows, we talk about Dasha Sandi. When a phase flips, right? When you're about to change in a chapter of life, things go haywire or things change. Because that's what it's what it's telling you. When the Dashas change, life changes. So 87, right? Or excuse me, 97 is when he begins what? Aftermath Records.
Right. Aftermath.
Aftermath, right? And guess what? Aftermath really didn't do too well.
But look at the
Aftermath
names,
produced a lot of people like Eminem and those kinds of things. Like that's his production company. But I'm talking about it as a musical entity. Aftermath does not have a lot of holdings or a lot of stamped approved records. Well, why would
not at first at least.
Not until the very end. Right, to the very end. Remember, right, these are people that, I mean, granted, he's starting a label. It's Aftermath. It's in the 12th house. It's kind of crazy. It's called Aftermath, and it's in the 12th.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Right? it's in the 12th house of Loss, right? So it's like, okay, the Aftermath. Because, you know, he left everything with Death Row.
Right.
Everything he left with Death Row, right? He didn't hold on nothing.
I don't even think he owned
Masters.
The Chronic.
No. That's all Death Row. All Death Row. So think about it. Jupiter Dasha hits. He says, I'll walk away from it all. Because right. That moon, look, he's Taurus ascendant. Go back over it. He's Taurus ascendant, bullish, persistent, doggishly so. Right? Kritika, right? Exactly. Jupiter Kritika, right? Is critical. It takes heat, right? And heat transforms things. Moon in the fifth house. Particular about what he's going to do. I mean, particular about how he's going to handle his affairs through that Virgo and energy. But the moon in the fifth house also lets you know that he knew he was going to make it no matter what.
Right.
Now, Jupiter Dasha didn't produce a whole lot. I'm just saying Jupiter Dasha is kind of an obscure Dr. Dre period. I don't recall. Of course, the other, like, you know, you have Chronic. What was the second Chronic? Chronic 2000.
Chronic 2001.
Out. 2001 and Detox, right? No, Detox.
Well, Detox never came out, but the Chronic 2001.
But he got some sound. He got some music, I think, that was left over, right, that he was supposed to put on Detox at that time. Because there was some singles that I was downloading, and it was like Detox. Because remember, it was like they had Method Man. They had a few songs. I don't know if you remember, there's an album now that kind of slid in the back. It was supposed to be Detox, right?
Mm-hmm.
That came, and remember, these are all kind of obscured. I mean, yeah, you know, Chronic and all that, it came out, right? But,
hey, but that was a major, I mean, that brought the West Coast back.
It did.
Brought Snoop
it
back.
Did. Yeah,
it then, did. Then Eminem happened in this period of time. I mean, he had some wins during this little period between 97 and about 2001. Like,
when it was some wins. No, absolutely. Hit, it was wins. He wins.
Yeah.
But let's look at what happens as of May 28th, 2014. Right? Now, granted, musically, we know the man is one of the baddest in the industry, right? I mean, I will give him that, bar none. I mean, yeah. I was watching The Art of Dialogue. It's not a podcast, it's like they break down little stuff about Pac's experiences through different people.
Right.
And one of the guys said, Kurt Cobain. He was like, look, man, when I came to That's Death Row.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, it is. He's a bad producer, man. Kurt Cobain is cold. But he said, I came to compete with Dr. Dre. He said, in fact, I really didn't even want to go to Death Row. I wanted to go to Ruthless because Dr. Dre is the person to beat, right? He's the man that if you got something bad as Dr. Dre or badder, you know, that's it. He's the man, right? So, you know, those three planets in the 10th house make him the man. Well, Saturn runs its course. It starts at 2013, May 28th. I mean, it starts 2013, May 20th, 2014. He's awarded $3 billion for the sale, right,
Beats by Dre.
Beats by Dre. Now, look, folks. Ashasha Yoga, right? And he's not even, he's a year into the Dasha, a year into the Dasha, and has made the richest hip hop artist that we know of as of current. That is crazy timing, folks. How could you get any better with the system that we use? That's just insane, right? Down to the, I mean, it's May 28th, 2014. He's in a Saturn, Venus, Dasha period. That's insane, right? That means that this man obviously was destined to be extremely wealthy, what Tauruses love, what they're built to do, right? That is awesome. That is phenomenal. And I mean, this is just to establish the man's destiny up until this point. But let's get to the nitty gritty. Why are we really here, right? Divorce. What is the catalyst? Why is this man going through this at this time? Well, technically, according to Google/Wikipedia, his wife files for divorce January 2020. January 2020, right? He's in a Saturn Venus Dasha period. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what planet rules wife in the chart? Venus. What is the position that Venus is to Saturn if you count from Saturn?
12.
And 12th house is the house of what?
Losses.
So that means during this time, he is going to experience loss from his wife. Period. That easy, folks. It's that easy. Remember, the 6th house rules the ascendant, which is himself. But it also rules the 6th house, which is what? Enemies.
Right.
So the wife, although be it well, very, very well taken care of, has never missed anything at all in the consideration of being taken care of. Still wants to take that loss. Still wants to acquire or make a way through this individual. Now, he had a stroke. January, right? It's not technically his first wife, no. Remember, so let me explain to you something, folks, the way this works, okay? So
Michelet
actually would technically be, according to...
I don't know if they were actually married.
I don't know if they were married either, but the way this works is the mother of the first child is technically the first wife.
Right.
Doesn't matter who was on paper. Don't matter. You went down to the Justice of the Peace. Matter you had a big wedding and everybody was there. Right. The person that gives you birth, that births your child, is your first wife. The person that now, let's say he got married. Right. Again, let's say he got married and then had another child. Well, the second wife is, provided he took a vow, that's his second wife. Only way you get marriage is babies and vows. That's it. Not girlfriend, boyfriend, not to hook up, not because I love you, baby. You make me feel good. Right. It's babies and vows. What's a vow? A vow is a commitment before yourself and the Most High that you and that individual will carry a course of action that will lead to an eventual result based on an agreement, based on an understanding, period. Right? The community reinforces that vow or reinforces the promise as the community recognizes that is the decision that two people have done in the eyes of the Supreme Being. That is what marriage ultimately is, right? And a baby, right? Other than that, right? No marriage. But he's got 8 children, folks. I'm sure, right? Right? Oh, no, they're not. Right? I'm sure, right? That 8 children, I don't think she gave birth to one of his children yet. I don't think she has a child, but she might have. But either way, she'd be the last one. Let's say that. Because she's obviously the most recent, right, person that is separating. They're separating. That's the most recent relationship. So she's the last wife. So we don't know what number she is. The way this works is 7th house is first wife. 2nd wife is 2nd house. 3rd wife is 9th house. 4th wife is 5th house. 5th wife is the first house. And it keeps going. So we don't know which is which. But we do know that whenever Venus runs its dasha, wife is involved. The sub-dasha, because it is Saturn's prime Mahadasha, right? The Bhukti is Venus. And whenever Venus runs, it is wife, right? At the age appropriate connection, given the person is a male, right?
Right.
Okay. Let's make some qualifications. That person's male, they're age appropriate, Venus is wife. So when you know that, and it's in the 12th house from the planet that is running the major or Mahadasha, this means that losses will ensue through a Venus-Venusian entity. Wife. Right. So the stroke happens right around January of 2021. If you could pull that up, we'll show you why the stroke happened. Right. If you pull up the transits, I mean.
Oh. I think we was looking at this a little while ago, I believe. All right, let's go back.
So January of 2021.
What day? You remember?
21st. Look at that, folks. Now, I want you to take a look. Remember, the Ascendant Lord is the physical, the representation of the physical body. It is, i.e., you in the chart, meaning your flesh, your bones. It's in the 9th house. The Ascendant Lord is in the 9th house. Take a look. You got 5 planets, really 4, right? Because Pluto's not really counted. You have 4 major planets transiting a stellium that is wrapped around his Ascendant Lord.
Mm-hmm.
That, what does that do? Number one, Saturn places pressure, right? It's a pressure cooker. And Saturn rules this particular house. So he's learning some deep karmic lessons during this time, right? Saturn's not putting pressure on him, right?
That was the year before. Never mind. Go ahead.
Right? Saturn's squeezing him. What's squeezing me? I want $3 million a year. Knowing that he has to do this until she's married. Right? So I want $3 million a year. Now, granted, you know, he's worth a whole lot of money, but $3 million a year, folks, after 10 years is $30 million. And if I were her, I wouldn't marry you again.
I mean, see, people think, you know, they throw that number around, you know, being, you know, a multi-billionaire technically, but I mean, liquidity, you know.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. You hear $3 billion, right? But he's not seeing $3 billion.
Nah, he got probably maybe $100 million liquid that he can just access.
Access, maybe. Right. So she's got one fourth of that.
Dang.
Gone. Right? So you see the like pressure. You see game, Saturn. Man. See Saturn. What's Saturn degree? 13? Or was that? Hold up.
In the transit?
Yeah.
And the transit is 9 degrees.
9 degrees.
And it's in the natal chart, it's 13.
So where is Sun at? Sun is
7 degrees,
right? Where's mm-hmm. Jupiter? Jupiter shouldn't even. The only thing that where's
Jupiter's
Mercury?
13.
Where's Mercury?
25.
There it is. Because Venus is at 23 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you would think that Mercury, because it's a planet that has some benefic qualities in his chart, it wouldn't harm him so much. But remember, Mercury is also the planet that makes you do what?
Think.
Right? It makes you think. Remember, Jupiter is debilitated at this time, so faith is gone.
Right.
So faith is like, I don't have any faith in how I can get through this. Like, how can I get this woman off of me? $293,000 a month. Wow, what a bill, right?
that's an understatement.
Right? Not only that, Jupiter is squaring natal Jupiter in the 12th, right? So all of these things are squeezing and composing the perfect synthesis for that boom. Stress to hit, and strokes come from stress, right? There's many ways you can stress: lack of sleep, right? Overthinking, right? And usually they go together, don't they? Right? Because you can't sleep if you're overthinking,
right?
Then on top of that, we don't know his diet, which I'm sure you would think with the best of money, you eat the best of foods, but that's not always the case, right? So we don't know necessarily his diet or his condition, right? But all of these things spell a recipe for being overwhelmed in the physical body. So isn't it odd that four planets, a stellium, happens when he has a stroke? In a Saturn, Venus, Saturn, Maha, Dasha, Venus, Bhukti. All of these things are being activated through that transit. Saturn's there, Sun's there, right? And then here's the thing. Sun is the fourth lord, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's the degree of Saturn and Sun to each other right there? In the transit. What's Sun at again? 13, did you say?
Sun is at 7.
7, right?
Sun is at 7.
Saturn's and what's his 9. Ascended degree?
His ascended degree is 7.
There you go. Right.
Oh no. Yep. 7. Yep. 7.
Right. So there you go. You got the ascended degree at 7. Right. Sun is at 7 degrees, and Sun is the fourth lord. Now he didn't have a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Right. But strokes are literally through the nervous system, and the central nervous system is the Sun. So again, showing the stresses that come through this particular transit to produce something that would affect the physical body.
Right.
So by far, folks, you are seeing and witnessing karma unfold. Right. He's going to be extremely wealthy, provided he gets to his Mercury dasha. It'd probably be even richer.
Yeah, he was fortunate, man. This could, I mean, he had some things that could have really took him out.
Yeah. But he, I
like
mean,
this transit right here. I mean, but I guess, you know, but yeah, because that's a hard little combination, yeah, right there.
That's serious. He could have paralyzed him.
Yeah.
And no more Dr. Dre. Right. So, you know, the stresses, right? And this is on Venus. I mean, this is his ascendant. Remember, he's in a Venus dasha. So the dashas are felt through the transits. So Venus being in that position of the dasha is squeezed and manipulated by those four planets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is what happens when people are in the season of divorce. You have dashas that run the scheme to tell you that Saturn and Venus, yeah, it's over. Right? That this is something you're going to have to what? 12th house, let go. And his 12th house is the 9th house, which is fortune. So he's going to have to let go of his what?
His money. Yeah.
Right.
Yikes.
Right. This ain't no joke, folks. The science is real. Right. The science is real. You know, he has a D9 of Pisces. Right. And at the time these things also are going on, you must consider, you know, that D9 with Pisces. Mars is what the D9 is being affected by. It's Pisces, but in the 12th, in his D9, he has Jupiter in the 12th. Right, so these things are also affecting him in a major way because of that particular positioning in the D9. Right, those things are also taking place because in the relationship aspect of things, that's how you look at the relationship many times, is because the D9 is the chart of promises. It's the chart of keeping your what? Word.
Right.
And if it's being hit or bombarded at a time where those placements in the D9 are also activated, it's a very good chance that that also will spill over into divorce or into some type of issue with regards to long-term commitment. So these things have been set up purposefully so that he would have those lessons. If he's running the Saturn dasha period in the D9, Saturn rules the 11th and the 12th house, gain and what? Loss.
Loss.
So see, he got it, right? But in the relationship, he had to what?
He had to lose some of it. He had to give up some.
There you go, right? So by far, folks, I mean, I think we've done this man pretty good, we've done him well, right? Because you can see the patterns. I mean, this is obvious what this man is going through. And she won, right? She won the battle. And maybe. He's still in the Saturn Venus dasha until 2023.
Maybe. I mean, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, she got the paper and stuff like that, but she's really, I mean, I'll be interested to look at her chart because she's really kind of boxed herself in a little bit.
Can't do much else. I mean, you can't marry anybody else, that's for sure.
You know you're going to have some private investigators and everything.
You best believe it, man. As soon as somebody pop up, man, that's it.
It don't even got to be a marriage. It could be a domestic partnership.
A domestic partnership. That's right. Well, he's there, which is domestic, and you in a partnership with him. Done deal, right? I need that 293 next month. Yeah.
Right. Right.
For real, real. Yeah, yeah. Beautiful, man. Beautiful chart. That was a very well put together chart. I enjoyed looking at it just for the simplicity and the beauty of it and the power of it. You know, you can see this man's destiny by far.
Indeed. 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 You know, and as usual, you know, this episode was brought to you by Push It Forward Media Group, Kalaprusha Astrology, and our good people over there on Patreon. Big up to y'all. Big up to y'all. This was a great show. Nice, easy, smooth. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. Looked like our technical issues might have been a little alleviated today. So big up to for showing us some love.
No doubt.
Indeed. Well, you know, with that being said, man, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And, you know, this was episode 12, and we will be back next week with another great episode. All right. Rod, you good? You got anything you want to say to the people before we out?
Not really. Just a couple of things I did want to cover initially with the transits. If you noticed, right? Did you click in your brain, folks, that worldwide they've made everyone things mandatory as far as the vaccinations are concerned? Has everyone noticed that? Right? All of a sudden now, healthcare workers, state workers, federal workers are all mandatory, right? Mercury just ingressed. When I say ingress, meaning moved into the sign of Cancer as of the 26th. Now, I want you to consider this. Cancer is the sign that rules the fourth. It's kind of like the fourth house, which is homeland, right? So certain laws or regulations, rules, Mercury, because those at Mercury is that as well, goes into Cancer. Cancer is also, it's healthcare workers, folks, nurses, right? Health care. The operative word is what? Care. So yeah. Anything that cares for you is Cancer. Nurturing, protecting, right? Making sure you're whole and healthy, right? That's what nurses do. That's what healthcare workers do. So when Mercury passed into there the 25th, right? I think it was right 25th or the 26th. That's when they pushed it. So just, I want people to kind of notice when planets move into position from one sign to another, the changes in the environment, because they waited until that point to do it. Now watch 6 months from now, that everybody's going to be mandatory, right? And it's going to be an interesting day in 6 months when you see, right, some rioting, right, occur, right, in regards to this. So just remember I told you, right, that in 6 months, right, you're going to see, because we look at the position of the sun in opposition to where it is to see the result, right? So we won't see it, right? They're going to push it, and it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger throughout this year. But when we crescendo and sun is in Capricorn, the opposite to where Mercury is now, and Mercury will be all right along with it, watch. They're gonna produce some type of requirement. If you want to go eat, movies, doing things, you're gonna have to have some type of identification for vaccination. Just watch.
Yeah, it's gonna be in the thick of it because that's January. You know,
exactly.
So exactly. You know, is it
New Year resolution, folks? Right? You're gonna have to decide, right, whether or not you want to go and be vaccinated or take, you know, do the opposite. So just be prepared, right? Can't say I didn't tell you. But other than that's really what I want to drop on the people is that much. The other things really, you know, have already passed. A lot of fires have occurred because Mars has passed the Gandanta. You remember water is one thing, but I also learned that fire is also part of Gandanta because the smoke, right? There literally the fires from the United States are wrapping around and reaching the opposite end in New York, right? Mm-hmm. So the fires are so plentiful, they're also choking the light out or choking the air out, meaning suffocating or Gandanta zone type stuff with regards to, right, the fires and things like that. And then we also just had an earthquake too and a tsunami, right? So all of these are kind of the after effects of that particular kind of switchover when you have from water to fire. So I just wanted to add that in there before I forget, because it's something I wanted to mention in the beginning of the show, but I'll go ahead and drop it on the people now.
Indeed. Yeah, got to watch some transits for sure. Definitely. Weather.
That's it.
Absolutely. So, you know, with that being said, want to, you know, thank you all again for tuning in, and we will be back next week with another great show. All right. Everybody be safe out there. We're out. Peace. Peace.